What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 76. Today is going to be a little different. It's going to be 8 lessons learned from Kobe Bryant. He's normally we obviously talk about health and nutrition on this podcast. You know, we just did a podcast on diabetes last week, and initially we were going to talk about diabetes again today, just to go into a little bit more detail about really what's going on with that condition. But we had a passing happen. You know, Kobe Bryant died. When was that? 3 days ago?
It was Sunday.
Sunday. Okay, yeah. So 3 days ago. And me and Tom both are huge Kobe Bryant fans, so it did affect us. So we thought, you know, let's just switch it up and do a podcast on Kobe Bryant and, I don't know, honor him a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was really tragic, especially, like, he was with his daughter, one of her teammates, like, their family, too. Like, it was a really sad story, and I don't know, it affected me a lot more than I really thought it would.
Me too.
I was really surprised, and I mean, definitely not alone. It seems like everybody was greatly affected by this.
What I've been telling people is it feels like a second cousin died. And like a second cousin that you actually liked.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's funny, it's like one of my really good friends, I used to live in Southern California, he went to Staples Center the other night where like everybody was gathering and mourning, and he said, man, it was so sad. And he works in a hospital, and that's where Kobe's body is. It's at his hospital right now. So it's like he can't even escape this. While he's at work, he's reminded about it.
People are talking about it?
Yeah. Like, while, you know, everybody's talking about it, and he's there. Like, and when he's home, he's, like, you know, watching videos. Like, it's all over. Wherever you look, it's all over the place. So, like, there's just kind of no escaping. I had that conversation with him last night.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was like, damn. Like, yeah, he's taking a lot worse than me, because at least I got, like, distractions, you know.
Distance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's just kind of get into it. Instead of doing a what's new this week, we're just going to kind of talk about like our favorite memories. And like when I think of Kobe Bryant, I just think of like his competitiveness and how he didn't let injuries get in like the way of anything. So my favorite memory of this is, I think it was like 2012, 2013, somewhere around there. Dwayne Wade breaks his nose accidentally in an All-Star game. And Kobe's, like, reaction to that is, I love it. Like, who loves a broken nose? Like, nobody. This guy is just a psychopath.
Yeah, really.
So they play each other about a month later. And this is the Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, like, the big three. I think they either win the title this year or just got finished winning the title. So this is, like, peak powers Dwayne Wade in the Miami Heat. So Kobe's wearing a plastic mask or whatever that mask is made out of. And he just destroys them. Dwayne Wade's guarding him, playing like the best defense you can possibly play on Kobe. Doesn't matter. Kobe starts off like 5 for 5 going against Dwayne Wade. And then after that, they throw like LeBron on him. They throw Shane Battier, who's another great defender. Kobe ends the first quarter 8 out of 10 and scored 17 points. Like they're up by about 10 at this point, and the game is just over.
Yeah.
Like Dwayne Wade is just demoralized, like can't do anything. Like, everybody's just kind of, like, looking at each other, like, what do we do? Like, how do we stop him? And these are the best players of the NBA at this point. And they're just, like, clueless and just, like, demoralized. Like, man, we don't have it tonight. Like,
no.
This guy's just at another level. And, like, yeah, there's just no beating him.
Yeah, I mean, he really was at another level. And there's always, I don't know, this death. Like, you know, if you're a Kobe guy, you can't be a LeBron guy.
I mean, kind of. I don't know. LeBron's kind of turned me.
Okay. So that was going to be my point. For the majority of LeBron's career, if you were a Kobe Bryant fan, you couldn't be a LeBron fan because of just how it was. Okay. It was Bloods and Crips. It was oil and water. They didn't mix, you know?
That's true. I don't think I actually became like a LeBron fan until after Kobe retired or at least was not competing anymore.
Yes. When they were both still competing for championships and MVP, stuff like that, you just couldn't like them both. And so since I was a Kobe fan, I didn't like LeBron at all. But this death just kind of puts things in perspective that that's so dumb. Like, LeBron and Kobe were friends. Like, Kobe was LeBron's, like, bigger brother.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's so stupid.
It's so stupid.
I think what had to do with was, like, people wanted to bypass Kobe. Like, pretty much, like, his entire career, Kobe was always so polarized. They were like, Shaq was better than Kobe. Steve Nash was better than Kobe, which was not true. I mean, like, people were like, Tim Duncan. I mean, I guess you can make an argument there. But, like, for most of the time, like, Kobe really never got his due. Like, they're always, LeBron's better than him, like, way too early. It's like, man, LeBron hasn't won a damn thing yet. You can't be saying that he's better. So, like, it was always, saying that somebody was better than him. It's like, man, he was the best player in the NBA for a good, like, 8-year stretch.
Oh, he carried the league.
Yeah.
Like, when Michael Jordan left, there was a void. There was a void of who was that guy.
And nobody likes rooting for Goliath. Like, I mean, hey, Shaq was a very dominant player, and he was the best player for a short period of time. But, like, I can't relate to Shaq. I'm not bigger and stronger than everybody else around me.
Yeah, nobody is.
You know, like, he's not relatable, but, like, Kobe's work ethic, like, yeah, I can put in as much work as I possibly can. And, like, that's relatable to me.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, 100%.
So what's your, first memory or best memory of Kobe?
Yeah, like, to this day, I mean, Kobe's been retired for, I think, 4 years now, right?
Something like that.
Something like that,
It feels longer just because his last couple years, like, he might as well have been retired.
Yeah, he was so injured, it wasn't even funny. But, like, I still, to this day, like, watch Kobe highlights. Like, I think I texted you a Kobe video, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, you did. And, like, even if it wasn't for that, like, I think every probably 3 months or so, we'll just kind of stumble across something. I'm like, I gotta share it.
Yeah.
Like, it'll even be, I think the video you sent me was, like, a 10-minute video, but yeah. I watched the whole thing. Like, we'll send each other 20-minute videos, like, from time to time. And I'm always blown away.
Oh, yeah, you just love it. I mean, the way he played, and I guess I'm gonna do it again, compare LeBron to Kobe, but Kobe's game was so polished. Like, he was so pretty. He could just do things that nobody else could do, and he was so flawless on the offensive end. And he was a lockdown defender, too, don't get it twisted. Like, he was all-team defense for years. And, I don't know, you can just watch Kobe highlights all the time. And my first, like, Kobe memory was, so I think they won their first championship in 99, was that right?
I think it was the 99-2000 season.
Okay, so it was the 98-99 season where I think they lost to the Jazz. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was my first memory of Kobe Bryant. I was at David's house, and we were watching the playoff game, because my friend David, he's a Kobe fan as well. And I remember, I must have been 10 years old, 9 years old, something like that. And just getting old enough to understand that he was different. Like, I remember in the playoff series, he stood out. And I was like, oh, I like this guy. And then from there on, at that point, I wasn't even a Laker fan. I was just a Kobe fan. And Kobe was on the Lakers, you know what I'm saying? So I became a Laker fan. And it was a trip. And then obviously the next year they ascended, him and Shaq won rings, they won 3 in a row. And then Kobe went on to play for 20 years and just do damn near everything he can do in the league. But ever since that moment, I was a fan. Like I said, they obviously lost, the Jazz beat them, but it was, I don't know, I'll never forget that. Like it just stands out to me.
Yeah, we're going to talk about something similar to that in a minute. But one thing that's crazy, I don't think it was that year. I think it was the year before where he, like, airballed the 2 free throws at, like, a clutch time. Yeah. It wasn't that year, right?
No.
So, like, that would break most players mentally, especially because I think he was, like, 17.
So young.
I don't think he was 17. I think he was, like, 18 or 19. Yeah. So, like, his first year in the NBA. Like, if I did that, I would probably never play basketball again.
He'd be embarrassed.
There was one of the best shooters. He was on the Orlando Magic, like, back in the 90s, like, when they were in the finals. He misses 3 key free throws, like, to win the game. I think they were down by 2. So if he makes all 3 of them, they would have won. If he makes 2 of them, they would have went into overtime. He misses all 3 of them. And after that, his career of, like, being, like, the best shooter, just done. He was just done. He, like, never recovered from
it. Just a broken human.
Yeah, like, the mental block was just there, and he just was never the same player.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, that never bothered Kobe.
No.
Like, I mean, that's just crazy that he just, like, used that to get better. Or maybe it just never affected him to begin with.
That mentality. He just knows that, honestly, he knew he was better than everybody. Because he outworked everybody. He knows he was.
And if he wasn't better at that time, he knew he was going to be. Exactly. Because he was going to put that work in.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, like, the first lesson I want to say is just, like, have a spirit animal. I've talked about this in the past as, like, a tip of the week one time. But he was a different player on and off the court. So, like, on the court, he was the Black Mamba. Like, see, he would do whatever it takes to win. He would kill you if that's what it took. Like, he is not losing.
No friends.
No friends, like, nothing. And he's gonna do it. Like, it doesn't matter who his teammates are. If he's got to score 81 points, he will do it. If he's got to score 62 points and three quarters against the team that went to the finals, he's going to do it. Like, there was just nothing that was going to stop him. And, like, off the court, like, this is the only time I remember him smiling as a player was when he would walk off the court, go hug his wife, and go hug his daughters. Like, that's the only time that he was happy. So he was able to just, like, switch that off, like, instantly as soon as he saw his family.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, like, that's what it is. Like, yeah, you need to have that competitive spirit, and that's got to be up another level. But then as soon as that competition is done, just flip that switch and just, like, okay.
And get after it.
And now I'm a person again. Yeah. Like, you know, get back to your family mode, everything like that.
Yeah, I think, and people, so if you don't know, obviously I think everybody knows at this point, he died in a helicopter crash. So there's not like Kobe, I knew this going into it, you knew this as well, that Kobe and helicopters are like synonymous. Everyone, if you're a Kobe fan, you know he rides in helicopters.
He's been doing it as long as I know.
Like, me too.
Yeah.
Because LA traffic is a bitch. And he was like, fuck this, I'm just flying over it.
Yeah.
And if you have $500 million, you can do that. And he did that because he wanted to spend more time with his family. That's how important it was to him.
Mm-hmm. Like, those were the two things that mattered to him, basketball and his family. And, yeah, it was just great to see him, like, yeah, because I don't remember him smiling on the court. Maybe after he, like, got to, you know, hold up to the championship trophy.
His last couple years, he's a little more understanding, but those first, like, 15 years, he was a dog.
Yeah, he never smiled.
Never
smiled. He was never happy. But, yeah, off the court, he was always happy. So the next lesson, I mean, this is the biggest one, is just outwork your competition. So, like, the best story I have of this is Kobe Bryant and Allen Iverson, who is an MVP, great basketball player, one of the best scorers of all time. They were both rookies drafted the same year.
Yeah, these are, like, the same era players. Like, they were contemporaries.
They were compared to each other for a long time.
Yeah.
So, Allen Iverson is playing his first game in L.A. against the Lakers. So, they go out to dinner together. So, after dinner, Kobe's like, oh, hey, what do you want to do? Iverson's like, you know what? I'm a little tired. I'm just going to go back to my hotel and sleep. And he's like, what are you going to do? Kobe's like, I'm going to go to the gym. Like, that's the difference right there. These guys are, like, neck and neck. I think Iverson was probably a little bit better at this point, or, like, mm-hmm. earlier in the career. But Kobe passed him because he was going to the gym. When other people were sleeping, he's going to work. He's putting that work in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's just kind of what it is. Like, you just have to know that hard work is going to pay off and just be able to do whatever it takes to get better.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. Like, I think Kobe was 6'6". You know what I mean? Could jump out the building. Was he athletic? For sure. Was he way more athletic than me and you?
Yeah.
Not even close. But compared to people in the NBA, he wasn't. He wasn't like an athletic freak compared to, like we said earlier, Vince Carter.
Yeah, Vince Carter was a much better athlete.
100%. Even like Tracy McGrady, who was probably a better athlete. But Kobe Bryant outworked these guys. And that's what made him the best of all time.
Yeah, he's putting in the work. Even like in the off season, like there was no off season. He was always just kind of like, I got to get better. I got to get better. And he didn't have any, like, weaknesses in his game or anything either.
It's not like he sucked.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, like, you just put in that work. I mean, because other people won't. And, like, if you want to be the best, like, you got to put in that work.
For sure. Yeah. No, and I can honestly really relate to that. Not that I work as hard as Kobe Bryant, because I know I don't, you know.
I don't think anybody does.
Yeah, like, that's not, I don't honestly feel bad saying that, because I think his level of work ethic was bar none. It really was, genuinely. And... But I still do take pride in the fact that I work hard. You know, I do get all my training sessions in. I do get all my meals in. If I'm supposed to read a book, I read a book. If I'm supposed to write something, I write something. And then, I don't know, I take pride in that. And a lot of that comes from looking up to people like him, you know? Because if he can do it, I can do it. You know, there's nothing special about him. Even though, I mean, he was a freak. But if he can do it, you can do it. And I think that's what people took from him.
Yeah, I think that's why, I mean, he was, like, relatable in so many... Like, it affected so many people was because, like, Michael Jordan is the best. Like, I'm not going to say that Kobe was better than Michael because I honestly don't believe it.
Yeah.
But when you talk about Michael Jordan, you only say, like, you're Michael Jordan if you're the best at something. But with, like, Kobe, like, you can apply, like, Kobe's work ethic to anything. If you're a a salesman, a real estate agent, a chef.
A very average bodybuilder.
Yeah, you know, like, just anything. Like, if you put in that work, like, man, you're doing it like Kobe, that Mamba mentality. Like, yeah. I'm working when nobody else is. I'm getting up at 4 a.m. to lift these weights when everybody else is sleeping.
Yep.
That's that Mamba mentality, that just outworking your competition. And while I say outwork your competition, like, for Kobe, I don't think it was work. And this is what number three is love what you do. So I talked about this with number one. Kobe loved basketball pretty much more than anything, probably outside of his family. Like, ball was life for him.
And honestly, I think earlier in his career, he loved basketball more than everything.
Oh, for sure.
And that included family.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that was before he had a family.
Yeah, that was before kids. Yeah. Yeah. But the wife was around. That wife was getting the short end of the stick, I bet.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, well, actually, it's funny that you say that is, so he learned Spanish, like, after they got together, he learned Spanish by going out to Mexican restaurants with her,
mm-hmm.
and then he would watch telenovelas with her and her mom,
mm-hmm.
so, like, he was putting in that work even with her, like, that's to impress impressive. Her family, like, I'm gonna learn Spanish just for you.
Yeah, oh, God, I won't do that.
Making us look bad,
yeah,
right?
Making me look bad. My wife speaks three languages, I speak one. That's it.
Yeah, so just loving what you do. So, like, yeah, it's not going to feel like work if you're, you know, constantly loving what you do. Like, he was obsessed with the sport, but that just came from, like, the love of the game. Like, that didn't come from, oh, man, like, I hate it. I'm at the gym at 4 a.m., but I got to get better. It's like, no, I'm loving that I'm at the gym. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And I can just kind of relate to this. Like, yesterday, I was doing one of my training runs, and, you know, it started raining. Like, I'm up in the mountains, like, this shit sucks. Like, there's so many, like, negative thoughts that are going through my head. And I'm like, you know what? I gotta reframe this. I can either, like, just kind of think about how my shoes are wet and muddy, my socks are wet, my feet are cold, like, you know, my legs are tired, they're starting to hurt, my knees are a little sore. Or I can reframe this and just think about all the positives. So, like, then I just reframe the situation. I'm thinking about, you know what? I'm glad my training is tough. Because if it's not tough and I have to face these situations on a race day, I'm gonna be screwed. I'm glad I'm getting these, like, tough reps in right now. And then I'm, like, looking around, like, man, there's so many trees out here. This is nice. Like, nobody else is out here. Like, this is beautiful. Like, I'm meditating right now. Like, the only sound are raindrops and my feet hitting the ground. Like, it's a perfect time to just be in your thoughts, which, like, not a lot of people do. I'm, like, connected with nature. And, like, the rest of my run was just all positive. Like, didn't even worry about anything like that. And even though, like, the conditions were worse than they were last week, I still knocked off 10 minutes. I think all that had to do with, like, that second I just decided to reframe the situation. And instead of being a situation I hate, just, like, you know, a situation of love and just focus on all the positives. I think that's what he had to be doing.
Oh, for sure.
While he's at the gym at 4 a.m., while he's at the gym at midnight, while his competitor is, like, at his hotel sleeping.
Yep. No, I agree with that. No, I think that's really cool. And I think, so, like, obviously... So, I, like Tom said earlier, I get up dumb early, anywhere from, like, 3:30, 4:30, and I lift a bunch of weights, and then I read a bunch of books, and I do a bunch of shit that people would consider hard, right?
Yeah.
Like, most like, oh, you work hard. But to me, I wouldn't have it any other way. So, it doesn't even feel like I'm working hard. Because I wouldn't, would I wake up at 4 o'clock if no one ever saw me ever again in my life and lift weights? Yes, I would. Because I love that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, it's not fair. It's, like, honestly an unfair advantage, I think, but... It just, it's just what Kobe preached. You know, he loved what he did, and so do I.
Yeah, I mean, like, how many people hate reading books when they're in school? How many?
Everybody, probably.
I mean, like, there's so many people that are just in horrible shape because they hate working out.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, yeah, it's a good thing, like, if you love it. And even if you don't love it, there's got to be things that you love about it. You just got to reframe it and, like, find those things.
Yes, exactly.
It's even better, you know? Yeah,
very true.
And this one is, like, kind of crazy to me. And this is, like, probably one of his biggest criticisms is, like, he embraced the expectations. He had unreal expectations. He was super hyped when he was coming out of high school. He was dating celebrities. He brought, what's her name? Brandy. She was a TV star, music artist.
Oh, yeah, to the prom, right?
To the prom his senior year. She's older than him and everything. Like, this fool came out of high school, like, with a target on his back when he got into the NBA.
Yeah.
He's like, who does this kid think he is? Like, he, every time he walked into a room, he thought he was a man. Even if nobody else did, he believed it. Because, like, honestly, like, he should, because he became it.
He became it. He really did.
Like, you have to have a lot of confidence if you're going to model yourself after Michael Jordan. And not even, like, think that you're going to be Michael Jordan. You try to pass him.
Yeah, you're going to be better than Michael Jordan.
So, like, the story behind, like, the number 24 that he changed it to is that it was one more than Jordan. And that was, like, his motto in life. It's like, I'm not only going to be Jordan, I'm going to be one better than him. That's crazy.
Crazy. Yeah, because Jordan did things that no one's ever done. And to this day.
Yeah, like the best of all time. No, I'm not trying to be the best. I'm not trying to be his equal. I'm like trying to have him look up to me.
Yeah.
Like that's insane.
That mindset is, that's a hard pace to keep.
Yeah, like his biggest criticism is that, oh yeah, he stole everything from Michael Jordan. Well, guess what? Everybody from his generation did. Vince Carter did. Mm-hmm. Allen Iverson did. Like, everybody from that generation.
All those guys.
All those people did. The only reason that you criticize Kobe for doing it is because he was the only one that was good enough that you could actually see that. Like, you know, that's not a comparison.
No.
I mean, that's not a criticism.
Yeah. True.
So it's like, yeah, if you put in all that work and you have a lot of confidence, and like, yeah, all that stuff's going to pay off. Like, you should have confidence that your hard work's going to pay off. Like, that's what you're putting that work in for.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to relate this back to my life a little bit, is I always refuse to kind of talk down on myself. I just do. I won't. Like, if someone asks me, hey, bro, how much weight can you bench? I always say all of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And if someone asks me to say, you know, what's your weakest body part or something like, what do you struggle with? I refuse to say bad things about myself, right? Because I won't. The world puts us down enough as it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to do that shit for myself. Like, I'm constantly thinking if something happens, I can do it. If I need to lift this weight, I will lift it. If I need to read this book, I will read it. That's what I do. I don't give myself that, you know, that out. I never do.
And honestly, like, if you do have
and it sounds cocky as shit, but it's just how I think to myself.
I mean, that's that mama mentality. Like, you have to. I mean, if you do have doubts, like, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
If you think that you can't do something, you're right. You're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, if you think...
I love that, by the way, because I say that as well. If you don't think you can do it, you are right.
Yeah.
And you should just fucking stop.
Like, don't even try.
Don't even try.
If you don't think you can do it. Like, you have to have that confidence. Because, like, I mean, you can look at stuff as either, like, obstacles in your way or like, you know, problems or something like that. Or you can look at it as challenges. I love looking at stuff as challenges. Because you know what happens with challenges? I overcome that shit all the time.
Exactly.
And, like, that's a mentality that you have to have. You're trying to get better. And that's in any aspect in life. That's not only just physical stuff.
No. Yeah.
Trying to get through a book. Trying to get a new job. Maybe you're having problems in your relationship. But, no, those aren't problems. Those are just challenges that you need to overcome. So, I was like, yeah, there's just kind of, you know, working on that confidence. You've gotten better in other aspects in your life. You just got to have confidence that you can apply that to everything else.
Exactly. No, very true.
So this is my favorite one, and this is definitely like a super relatable one with Kobe, is progress, not perfection. So no one's perfect, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to be. Like, every offseason, Kobe was adding something to his game. Low post moves. He might have been the best low post player in the NBA at 6'6".
Yeah, he wasn't 7 feet tall.
Yeah, like, he had so many crazy low post games.
Yeah.
Low post moves. Like, the mid-range. Like, his left hand. I watched, a 10-minute-long highlight video of just him with his left hand. And, no, it wasn't him dunking with his left hand. He shot threes with his left hand. I just showed you one earlier where he, like, sprained his right shoulder, can barely even lift it up. And he just turns, double team, hits a fadeaway with his left hand only, like a mid-range shot. And the defenders didn't even do anything because they're like, wait, he can do that?
Yeah.
Who can shoot with both hands?
Just think of how many people can't even brush their teeth with their non-dominant hand.
Oh, I don't think I could.
Right? And this dude's playing basketball at the highest level with his non-dominant hand.
Scoring on a double team.
Yes.
I mean, it's insane. Like, and we're just talking about offensive stuff. He might have been the best one-on-one defender in the NBA. Like, he
for
was,
years.
Yeah, he was so good. I remember, there was a 76ers game against Allen Iverson. Funny that he's coming up again. So, I think he's most likely against Derek Fisher, just torching him in the first half. Just
of course.
Torching him.
Poor defense.
Like, goes up to, like, 20-something points. I think it was, like, 22 points in the first half. And the second half's like, you know what? Put me on him. Doesn't score again. The whole entire second half. Just goes from torching the Lakers to just nothing.
Yeah.
And, like, that was just a challenge. And it's like, whatever Kobe needed to do, he would do it. Like, there's no weaknesses in his game.
Yeah, and that, people don't really talk about that aspect of his game a lot, the defensive end. But it's, I mean, obviously, defense is 50% of the game. You know, it's a huge part. But there's a reason you find, like, defensive specialists. Like, let's say,
Tony Allen's the best one I could think of.
I was trying to think of a guy in Memphis. Exactly. So a guy named Tony Allen was a defensive specialist, right? So he would lock down most best players on the team. He'd lock them down. But he wouldn't do much on offense. And that's because it takes so much damn energy to be a good defensive player. And you know what also? It takes a bunch of energy to be a good offensive player. So to do both on both ends the entire game is super impressive.
I mean, like, you're seeing that now with LeBron, where he's not the defender that he used to be. He's just not trying. I feel like defense is, like, a lot of just effort.
Yeah.
Kobe, later on in his career, was not the same defender that he used to be. But, I mean, if he needed to, he would lock you down. Like, mm-hmm. he could still do it. He's just like, no, I gotta save my energy for the other end. And this is what one thing that bothers me so much with James Harden, is people, nobody's really comparing him to Kobe yet. They're like, oh, yeah, you know what? If he keeps doing this, he might be better than Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade was another great defender, and this is how bad James Harden is at defense. So the lowest average scorer that scored like a 50-point game, so like there's, you know, like quite a few people had a 50-point game, but like the worst player that ever did that, based on like scoring averages, was Corey Brewer.
Okay.
You know who he did it against?
James Harden.
James Harden. So okay. He, Corey Brewer is like a 6-point game, or 6 points a game, like average.
Yeah.
Like, not very impressive. He had a 50-point game against James Harden.
Yeah, and that talks about, like, the amount of energy James Harden puts on offense is impressive.
Yeah.
Like, offensively, he's a freak. I get that. But, yo, if he locked down people on defense, there's no way he'd be putting up those numbers. He just wouldn't have the gas tank for it.
No.
Just because nobody would, honestly.
I mean, like, and if he did that, and then you could compare him to Kobe.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you could say that he's better than Joy Wade. But until he even shows that he's capable of doing that, like, no, get that out of here. He's not even close.
Not even close.
Like, I'm so glad, like, nobody's comparing him to Kobe yet, but I get upset when I hear him compared to Dwayne Wade. I'm like, no, he's got to play at least something on the defense.
Yeah, because I totally respect Dwayne Wade as well, because he was a stud.
Yeah, he was great on both ends, but, like, the progress part, like, he didn't work on the other parts of his game. Like, once his athleticism went away and he was no longer the fastest and most athletic guy on the court, he didn't add that mid-range. I don't think he had those, like, left-handed shots that he could turn to. You know, he didn't have that crazy footwork and stuff like that Kobe did.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of separated him. Because if you look at that first half of their careers, like, yeah, you can compare them. But then when you look at the second half of their careers, it's like, nope, not even close.
Yep, very true.
And this is one that I think, like, we talked about a little bit earlier. This is number 6, is don't be afraid of failure. I mean, hey, even if you're, like, the best shooter in the NBA, maybe you're shooting 50%. That means you're missing 50% of the time, too. Like, you know, you're dealing with a lot of failure. And we talked about Kobe earlier, like, how he missed 2 free throws at the clutch free throws that would have broken most players. Didn't even faze him. And if it did faze him, it fueled him to get better. Like, you just can't be afraid of failing. And a lot of people want to criticize Kobe as saying he's not clutch, because he was just average, like, shooting percentage-wise in, like, those clutch moments. The only reason we think of him as clutch is because he took more than anybody else. Do you know how many people are afraid of even, touching the ball in clutch moments?
That spotlight is hot.
Yeah, you would think, hey, they made it to the NBA, they can't be afraid of the moment. But no, a lot of players are.
Yes.
Richard Jefferson talked about this recently when it was Game 7 when the Cleveland Cavaliers, when they beat the Golden State Warriors. It was like the last few minutes of the game, Richard Jefferson's out there, don't really know why, but he's out there. He's like, don't pass me the ball. I do not want the ball.
Yeah.
He's standing there wide open in the corner, and his thoughts are like, oh my God, please don't pass me the ball. Please don't pass the ball. Luckily, Kyrie Irving is out there with that Mamba mentality. Hits like some crazy three, one of the biggest threes in like NBA like history. And he's just out there like, thank God I didn't get the ball. Like, he's a former All-Star.
Not like a scrub. He was a good player.
This is at the tail end of his career, too. So it's not like he's some 18-year-old kid out there.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, he's been at all these moments, and he's out there like, please don't give me the ball.
Yes.
There's a lot of players out there that don't want to take those shots. Mm. And Kobe's out there shooting them all the time. And so it's just like, yeah, you're going to miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
Yes.
So, like, yeah. So, he took a lot, but if he didn't take them, those are just as good as misses.
Yes. Yeah, no, I love that, man. You miss every shot you don't take. I love that. I mean, that can go to, like, so many different aspects of your life. Like, whether, I don't know, your dating life. Even if, like, you want a promotion at work, like, you gotta ask for these things. You know what I mean? Speak up. Was it the squeaky wheel gets the oil? You know what I'm saying? Like, do it.
Yeah, I love that saying, too.
Yeah.
I use that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, another one talking about this is when Dwight was on the Lakers, he was a horrible shooter. I think he was averaging, like, 50% from the line.
Yeah, Dwight Howard's a big old dude. He was a center.
Yeah. So, I haven't been able to, like, find confirmation on this, but from Dwight Howard, he says that he was a 90% free throw shooter back in high school. And if you look at his form doesn't look bad. He doesn't look like Shaq out there, like,
awkward,
trying to hold, like, a ping pong ball or something in his hands. Like, no, he has a pretty smooth, like, shooting formation. So I was always amazed, like, how are you, like, the worst in the NBA at this? Like, you should be better. And a lot of that he blamed on just being afraid of missing. He's like, man, I can't get over this. So Kobe's advice to him was, like, go to the gym, shoot the ball 1,000 times. You know you're probably going to miss about 100 of them. You just got to deal with it and just get over it. Like, if you miss that many times, like, you will finally just stop being afraid of failing. And I don't think Dwight really took that advice.
He's not a good free throw shooter.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just crazy. Who's going to go to the gym and shoot 1,000 times? I mean, Kobe
did.
Yeah, but like, I mean, like, I don't think that many other people are really going to do that.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, that's just what you got to do.
100%.
So this is like the only actual health related one is bone broth for healing. So I kind of heard a couple times that bone broth was good for you, but didn't really like apply that to my own like health and my own like daily regimen until I heard, is it Kate Shanahan? Is that her name?
The Deep Nutrition lady?
Deep Nutrition. She was a nutritionist for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. I'm glad I got her name right.
Well, I think so. Okay. I think that's her name. Yeah.
Hopefully we're recording her. Yeah, right? We should have looked this up before.
Yeah, probably.
So this was like his secret weapon from recovering from his Achilles injury. So he even called ahead, or I don't think he did. I think she did. She called hotels ahead of time to make sure that those hotels like made his special recipe for when he was on the road. So he was always getting that bone broth. And bone broth has so many benefits. It has a lot of collagen, MSM, glucosamine, and chondroitin. If you buy those things individually for a month's supply, you're looking at probably like $150 in supplements.
Super expensive, yeah.
And those supplements probably aren't going to be as bioavailable as they are from bone broth.
Yep.
And bone broth, if you want a month's supply, it's probably going to cost you maybe $10 on bones.
Like, not a lot.
Not a lot. And I think it tastes really damn good.
Yeah, I think it's kind of gross, but it's super nutritious. So.
Yeah, it's super nutritious. And then finding out like, oh, hey, this pro, this like, you know, top elite athlete, this is what he's doing to get better. I got to apply that to my game.
Yeah, that's true.
And he was doing this like 10 years ago. I know bone broth is kind of all over the place now.
Now it is, yeah.
You know, like in the last couple of years. But yeah, I don't know if he's what made it popular, but he was doing it before. Like it was, everybody was talking about it.
Well, I mean, just touch on his injuries. Like he played a lot of the time injured. He needed to be recovered.
I remember a big game against LeBron. This is when they were like both at their like peak powers. Like first quarter, LeBron elbows him in like the pinky, I think it was like a ring finger. Dislocates his ring finger. There's a timeout called. He snaps it back into place and tapes it up, and then it just comes right back out there. Hockey players do that shit.
Basketball players don't.
Yeah, and this is a finger injury. Like, that's all you're doing is using your hands.
Yep.
He had, like, I think it was his pinky that he needed to get surgery on, but just kept putting the surgery off because he didn't want to miss any game time. He's like, no, I'll figure it out. Like, he had so many injuries.
Yeah, for a long time there, he had, like, half his hand taped together. Like, he had all three fingers taped together in, like, weird ways.
And I'm pretty sure anybody else would have been like, oh, I know for sure Shaq would have. Let me get the surgery. Let me heal on company time. That's why Shaq and Kobe hated each other, is Kobe didn't respect Shaq's, like, work ethic. He's like, I'll get in shape on company time. I'll do my healing on company time. That offseason's for me.
Yeah.
And that's what separated them. That's what really drove them apart.
Well, and Shaq could get away with that because he was such a freak.
Yeah.
He didn't have to work out as hard as everybody else because he could just dominate dudes physically.
Yeah.
Kobe couldn't do that.
His game was, I'm going to be bigger and stronger than you.
And he was.
Yeah. The only time, like, the only person who could really put anything against him was Yao Ming.
Yep.
Because he was bigger and, like, just as strong.
Yao Ming was made of glass, though, which is sad.
But, yeah.
Hold on, what did he say the author's name was?
Is it Kate Shanahan?
Catherine Shanahan. Yeah, close.
So I think
she might go by Kate.
She might be going by Kate.
Okay, sure. Okay. But yeah, her book is Deep Nutrition. It's actually an awesome book. I recommend it to anybody out there. There's obviously a whole chapter on bone broth. We've done a whole podcast on bone broth, so yeah, a lot of benefits to it.
Good. Thank you for looking that up. Yeah. Glad we weren't wrong, or at least not that wrong.
100% wrong, yeah.
So the last one, number 8, is giving back leads to happiness. So Kobe post-retirement was the happiest I ever saw him. And I'm kind of amazed with how much he loved basketball. I was like, man, this guy's going to take retirement hard. And not at all. So not only did he mentor many players like Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, a lot of the young Lakers like Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. Like when Kobe wasn't even on the team, he lived in LA. So he would just go to Lakers practice and, you know, just like work with them. If you reached out to him and you wanted to work on your game, he was there for you. So, you know, he wasn't doing much.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, he loved mentoring people. And not only that, like, he coached his daughter Gianna's basketball team or middle school team. And, you know, like, tragically, that's why they died. They were going on their way to a game. But just seeing him, like, sitting courtside at Lakers game, he was, like, pointing out different aspects of the game, teaching her. They both looked so happy there and everything. And it's like, man, I'm just so glad, like, giving back. Like, that's the kind of what just, like, showed it. Like, he's no longer playing, but he looks so much happier just sharing, like, his knowledge with other people and just giving back.
100%. Yeah. No, I think, yeah, this touches on something I've talked about before. I don't think I've talked about it on here, but the way society is nowadays, it's all about consuming things, right? We consume Netflix shows, we binge them. We consume food, we have fast food on every corner, right? Nobody actually produces anything. And I think that's what it is. Even like this podcast, genuinely, if you listen to every episode of this podcast, first, good luck, right? There's a lot of content at this point, but you will literally know more about nutrition and health than your doctor, than 99% of professors in colleges. You genuinely will. And I'm proud of that because we produce this, and it's not for us, it's for everybody else.
Yeah, we don't make any money from this. I think we're losing money.
Probably, you know what I mean? So this is, I don't know, this producing something and like giving back in that way is what is really the root cause of happiness and just fulfillment in one's life.
Yeah, you know, like the reason that we keep doing this is like I have like, you know, friends and stuff, like they'll come up to me and like I can see like how much they changed their lives and they're like thanking me and like just like Joe and Kristen, shout out to them, like they are so much healthier. They look, it's just funny, like I just saw some pictures from Joe's 30th birthday a few years back. It was only 3 years ago and he looked so much younger and so much better than he did back then. It's just crazy. And, like, you know, just giving back and just seeing, like, how it's affecting other people is, like, I'd rather have that than, you know, $1 million. I would take $1 million.
For
don't
sure.
Get me wrong. If you want to give me that, cool. But just seeing, like, how it's benefiting other people, like, man, that makes it all worth it.
It really does. Yeah, 100%. You know, something we need to talk about, the this is kind of a side note, but with the helicopter crash, do you want it? I want it to be, like, there was a malfunction. Like, people are saying, like, oh, they ran to the hill. There's no way this professional helicopter driver ran into a hill, right? How often do you think he went over this hill? This is not, like, an uncommon route. He's done it a million times.
Yeah, I haven't really paid that much attention to, like, the details of it because I'm like, what am I going to gain from that?
Yeah, I guess I'm just hoping, like, engine failure or something like that. Like, there's no way some dumb pilot ran to a hill.
Well, I heard there's, like, a lot of fog or something
like
that.
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying,
but... I mean, because honestly, like, is it going to make it any better if the...
A little bit.
If the pilot was, like, you know, on a bunch of medications and drunk. Like, or, you know, it's not going to make it any better.
It's not. No, I guess at the end of the day, it's all sad.
That's just kind of the way I've been thinking about it. I know there's, like, other videos out there. You could actually see the crash and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't need that in my life.
Yeah, I haven't seen those.
Yeah, like, I don't want to. I don't need any of that.
Yeah, me either.
It's like, it's already sad enough, so I'm just trying to think about, like, kind of, okay, this guy meant a lot to me. We put this podcast together. Like, what can we actually take from this and kind of honor his legacy?
Yeah. No, that's true. That's a right perspective to have.
Yeah. So, honestly, I spent a lot of time just thinking, like, this is going to go into the tip of the week. So, like, all right, this guy meant a lot to me. What can I do? So, originally, I was like, you know what? I need to buy. I've always wanted a pair of Kobe's, but they've always been expensive. So, you know what? Maybe I should buy a pair of Kobe's. But I'm just thinking, okay, Nike's already got all the money in the world. His family's got a lot of money. Yeah. I don't even know what percentage of the shoes go to that. So, like, they don't need money. Like, that's not gonna help anybody, really. So, like, you know, kind of why do that? And then I was like, okay, maybe I should donate to, you know, his basketball academy. I'm pretty sure they got all the money, too. Like, they don't really need it. Like, I'm sure they could use money in their, you know, benefit. But I'm like, all right, that's not the best way either. What's, like, the best way to kind of, like, honor what, like, he stood for and stuff like that? So the thing I came up with is just giving back to youth sports and not just like any youth sports program. Like, who really needs the money? You know, like, there's no matter where you are, there's going to be either in your town, next town over, there's going to be some like struggling youth academy. You know, like, those are the teams that really need it. Your local high school, maybe not your local high school, maybe the high school that's, you know, the crosstown rival that's not doing too well. They don't even got, like, that red square tape or painted on the backboards. They don't got nets anywhere. Like, those are the schools that really need the money. So, like, that's where I'm, like, trying to look for. And, like, if you can either donate your money, donate your time, donate something. You probably got something that's worth some value that doesn't mean anything to you, but they can raffle off for some money to donate. There's also like all sorts of fundraisers. I just went to a crab feed on Saturday. I got another tri-tip feed I'm going to in a couple weeks that were for like youth sports. So like, you know, I'm trying to do my part. Like unfortunately, I'm not a millionaire. I wish I was so I could donate a lot of money. But you know, like in the past, I've like done a lot of time like volunteer coaching and just talking about how like giving back leads to happiness. Man, I was so happy when I'd see like the kids that I coach like win a wrestling match. That makes you so much more proud. I was more proud of them winning than I was back in the day when I won. Because I expected to win. Because I put in that hard work. I was expecting to win. Like, you better raise my damn hand up after I put in all this work.
Exactly.
But seeing, like, the kids win, you know, like, man, that meant so much more. Seeing them smile, like, that means so much more to me. So, like, hey, it's kind of selfish if you think of it that way. Like, you're going to do something good for other people, but it's really going to, like, benefit you too. But, man, like, hey, it's such a great thing to do. If you can't donate your time, like, time's a valuable resource. Not everybody has all of it. Donate your money to them. Donate some products. Donate something. Like, but yeah, try to help out the youth programs, especially the ones that are struggling, because they're the ones that it's going to affect the most people, and they're going to be able to stretch that dollar so much further than like some giant academy.
Yeah, 100%. No, I think that's a great tip of the week, and I hope people actually listen to that. And yeah, when moments like this happen and someone dies and it's tragic, it kind of puts perspective on things. So hopefully people, you know, tell your family you love them and just be aware that every day could be your last, you know? Like, no one expected him to die. He was like a superhero.
Yeah, it's funny that you brought that up. It's like, I did not believe it Sunday. The entire day Sunday, I was like, no, this
was I the first person that told you?
So I was at home. My phone was on the charger. Okay. I was playing a video game. Uh-huh. And then I go to my phone probably like an hour after it. And I have a bunch of text messages.
Yeah.
And like so many like alerts on my phone. I'm like, what the hell is going
on? What happened? Yeah.
And then I'm like reading through them. I'm like, no, this didn't happen. This didn't happen. Then I see a text from you. I see a text from a couple of other people. I'm like, oh, well, these guys can't be lying. So like then I like look online. I'm like, one website says it. I'm like, that can't be true. Now, like, the complete opposite type of website says the same thing. Like, maybe it's true. No, it can't be. And they, like, just kept looking and looking. I'm like, no. They're like, there's gotta be some sort of mistake.
Yep.
And, like, that entire Sunday, like, that's all I was thinking about. Is it can't be real.
It can't be real. I know. Yeah. No, this lady ran to me, Julie. I guess at some point I had mentioned Kobe to her. I don't know when. It's been years, obviously, yeah. Right? She's like, oh my God, did you hear Kobe died? Like, she like ran specifically to me. And I was like, shut up. And then obviously, you know, I checked and obviously it happened. So it was sad, man. It really was.
Yeah, I mean, especially like, I mean, for him, like, I mean, it's still sad to be dying at 41. But he lived 3 lifetimes in that 41 years.
Oh, he killed it for 41 years.
Yeah, I mean, like the real sad thing is like his daughter, she's 13. She was going to go to UConn. She'd probably be pro. If you can be coached by Kobe, like, you know you're going to put that work in.
For sure.
Like, you're not going to be mentally weak if you can handle his coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and she's got great genetics. Like, there's a good chance that she could either at least gone pro, maybe been the best player of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what really, like, got to me. It's like, damn. And I honestly think, like, yeah, he had a great playing career. But I think these, like, the years to come were going to be, like, his happiest years. And it's like, damn, man, that's just so sad.
It's so sad. No, I agree, man. It's a very sad thing.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, give back to some youth organizations so you can make either the next Kobe possible or just, like, the next inspirational, like, sport hero possible, you know?
They're out there.
Yeah, he had such a big impact on both of our lives. So, like, yeah, make the next one possible.
Yeah, for sure. Well, all right. That's another podcast in the books. A little different this week. Next week, we'll get back to the more diet and nutrition stuff. We'll talk about diabetes again. But you can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe. You can find us on all your favorite podcast providers, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. We also have a donate button if you want to contribute anything to us, or, hey, donate to a local sports organization. They need the money, too. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.